emergency asifa, he called the Talmidim and he told them something just happened, a terrible tragedy. There was an earthquake in China, and although no deed was involved, but if something happens, we have to respond. We have to look at it from a Yiddish perspective. The Yiddish is telling us something. This is an important aspect that we have to always keep in mind. Whatever happens in the world is really happening to show you through. As you all know, a number of months ago, a terrible, terrible tragedy happened to the world, probably unprecedented in American history. Unfortunately, it did claim you to survive. Much too many Yidden were lost. And there's no question about it that this is something that we have to take Lamaisa, learn from this Lamaisa. And I'm sure you've heard over the months different ideas, different thoughts. I'd like to tonight, Bez Hashem, share with you something that I've been thinking about. And I can only tell you, in each passing day, I see more and more how important, how this idea we should be thinking about. There's a Mavel Dikamais we find in Divayom and Beis, Perik on the Gimel. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gimel makes it even more surprising. The Pasuk speaks about Menashe, the Melech, which in one Pasuk describes him so accurately, Vayat Hara Be'eni Hashem. He was the Chayte Umachti, he was Mayim Etzelem Be'eichel. He killed his own Zaydi, Yeshaya Hanavi. According to many days inside Sanhedrin, Ein Lai Chelik Ba'olam Haba. And then we find he was captured. The Melech Asher captured him and started to torture him. And the Targum of Anod says that he tried davening Tevi of his Avodah Zarah, and of course didn't help. At that moment, Menashe was helpless. And then the Pasuk says, Vayikona ma'oid milosnei alikei avoysav Vayisfal leilat. Literally, as a last resort, and no other choice, he realized he was hopeless and helpless. He turned to the Rebbeinu Shlom and he said, Nidavin. You could imagine what that filler was, how we would think that filler is so meaningless and so unimportant. After all, he was the Rasha, the Spitz Rishis. And yet the Pasuk says, Vayet Eloi, or the Gersh says, Vayecht Eloi, Vayishmat Sinasa. What does that mean? So the Gemara Darshan, Melamed Shechot, Tosalei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kimin Machteret Barakia, Kedei Lekabloi B'tshuva. As Rashi and the Yishalmi, the Mor Mazva, the Midas Hadin came and cried out to the Yevishter, this Chayte Umachti, this Rasha Marusha, you're going to Mekabel his Tfila? How you talking to such a Rasha? You're going to listen to his Tfila? Vayecht Aloi, the Yevishter Kabayachal had to carve out, make a hole, Tachas Kisya covered, to be Mekabel his Tfila. There's not a plea, a Tfila playing, such a Rasha comes to the Yevishter at a time and nothing worked, and he now returns to the Yevishter, and the Yevishter has to make Nisim, Mamish, Moivsim, Vayecht Aloi. And it's a good kasha, everybody. It's a good kasha. Why did the Yevishter make such a Shalaika Derech HaTeva for this tefillah? It's a good kasha until you learn a little bit about tefillah. Until you understand what tefillah really is. We just learned in Parshas Chukas, the Torah describes about Yetzias Mitzrayim, when Yidden were in Tzoras, Vanitzak al Hashem, Vayishma Kaleinu. Simple enough, they were in danger and they cried out. Zot Rashi, Bebracha Shebecheinu Avinu. What does that mean?
the bracha that Yankov Hakol Kol Yaakov Janu Toyak in the Nenim. And of course, the Mefarshim ask, where do we feel bracha? Yitzchak feels the child in front of him. He says, Hakol Kol Yaakov. Where did Rashi see the bracha Shebachenu Avinu? And what does that mean? Janu Toyak in the Nenim. Is that what tefillah is? That we cry out and the Yevishka listens to us? And this too, I tell you, Meir Rabbeisa, it's a good kasha. Until you start to learn about tefillah, until you start to understand properly what tefillah is all about, and then you realize what a bracha tefillah is. The Chinuch HaMitzvah Tav Lamed Gimel tries to explain what tefillah is all about. After all, the Eibishter knows our needs. Why does there have to be a concept of tefillah? Zok the chinuch that really the tovus and the brachas depend on a person's actions. But there's one exception. There's one way that a person goes straight to Kavi Yachol and ask him for everything. Zok the chinuch, the Eibishter b'Rav Chasdai, Pasach lem Pesach, Asher Yasigu Kol Mishalei Shalei Matoiv. The Eibus gave us a door straight to Kaviyachol the Rebbeinu Shalom. V'ushi vakis mimenu asher biyada yistapkis kiyana lechol asher yikra'uhu biyemes. There's a different way, there's a direct way, and that's the bracha of tefillah where the Eibus says, Karev Hashem lechol karev lechol asher yikra'uhu biyemes. We don't understand. We look, bracha shebachenu avinu. Where did Rashi get that tefillah is a bracha? But Chazal understood what tefillah was. The Chazanish told his shvaga, of school grinding with the chayin of bracha. Vayis v'chayis in Shemayim, he said, it seems like from Shemayim they concealed from me the Holocaust. Because had I known, of course he said lasim plur, had we known, we would have davened, and maybe there wouldn't have been a korban. Why the Chazanish said this, I don't know. But I guarantee you the Chazanish understood what a bracha tefillah was. And the Chazanish, who was Kula Yemes, felt qualified to say, had he known, had he davened, maybe there wouldn't have been a Chorbin. I, the Yevishter, was Geiza. I, there's supposed to be a Chorbin. But there's also part of the world that's a Chol HaShikru'u B'Yemes. There's a Pesach that's called tefillah. Throughout the Doris, B'chol Dar V'Dar Oimdim Aleinu L'Chalaiseinu, we have, as a nation, have been faced with tremendous sakanais. But what's undoubtedly the biggest sakana we find, Klai Yisrael, when they were by Mitzrayim, they left Mitzrayim, and the way the Pasuk describes it, and the Medrash of Hanart and Chavalah Pei gives a more vivid description. Here it is, Klai Yisrael, over a million people, Anashim Nashim V'Taf, they leave unarmed, and Mitzrayim is Nesei Achareihem, and Zok the Medrash, the situation that Klai Yisrael felt, Hayom Soiger, the one side they see the raging sea, Hasoina Reidef, the elite of Mitzrayim's army are chasing after them, with one intention to kill them all out. On the third side, Chayis Min HaMidbar. On all sides, they see Sakonais. Here is a Klai Yisrael, a nation, unarmed, unprepared, and their mamish surrounded on all three sides of the Medrash. Can you imagine, can we picture a more helpless or more hopeless situation? Zok the Pasuk Vayiru Ma'oid, and boy, did they have a reason to fear. What's going to be next? What's the next step? What's the next moment going to bring? Sakana all around. Zok the Pasuk Vayitzasu B'nei Yisrael Al Hashem. They cried out, they used the Bracha Shebachenu Avinu. But you look in the Mechilta, it adds one word, a Tayer Avart HaBaisai, that really defines and describes tefillah. Tavsu umnis avaseyem Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov. What a remarkable word. It's an umnis. Tefillah is an umnis. Tefillah is a skill. And the Mechilta goes on to show countless mekairis Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, throughout their lives, they were in danger, they were in sakana, and they used the umness of tefillah. Zok the Chazal, at that moment, Klal Yisrael were helpless, they were hopeless. But then they came on to what's Klal Yisrael's truest umness, our bracha, they cried out to the Eibishter. And you know why Chazal considered that an umness? You know why I believe that's the best word to define tefillah? Because look what happened. At one moment they're in the greatest danger, surrounded on all sides, and the next moment they witness the greatest nest that ever was. And it wasn't a nest. It was the bracha se'berchenu avinu. Because that's the bracha that B'nai Avram, Yitzchak v'Yankov have. That it's not called nest, it's called tefillah. Tefillah is able to change a nest into teva. You learn the Gemara in Kedush in the well-known story on the Chavtesa Medbeis, Ravadik Acha came to the city and there was a mazik there, and Abaya told his Talmidim, don't tell him what's going on, he'll go into the shul and he'll kill the mazik. Frag the Masha, how is Abaya allowed to do that? He put it Arach in Sakana, Ein Tzoymchen al Anes. How is he able to put him in that situation? Zot the Marsha, because he was sure that he was Davin. And I asked you to watch the terrace. Ein Tzoymchen al Anes. How is he allowed to have him go into that Mokim Sakana? Libi Yoimeli, the Marsha knew the Bracha Shebachenu Avinu. The Marsha understood that we have an umness, that Nes becomes Teva. That it could be from the greatest sakana into the greatest nest, because tefillah makes nests into teva. Don't we all know Chazal HaKadoshim say all of the imayis were akarais? Why? Why did he able to make all of our imayis go through such suffering? Zok the Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavel tefiloshen tel tzadikim. You know, I think it's a little deeper. I think there's an eternal message here. If we are a people, if there is an Am Yisrael, it's because we had Emayis that knew what the true umness was. If there's a Yid that's walking on the face of this earth, it's because he knew what the greatest bracha Yid has. A Yid is should fall, but Teva is Kulay Nes. Each of the Emayis, isn't it pleadic? Each of our Mamas Moikarais, to remind us with Zairei Zairus, we're a nation that has an umness that's called tefillah. We're a people that have a bracha that's called tefillah. Because tefillah makes from nes into teva. But there's something else that you have to understand. There's something else that you have to realize to appreciate this umness, this bracha that's called tefillah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches tells something that's nothing less than frightening. If you think about it, Zog the Gemara Shnayim Sha'ala Lemitan V'Chol Yan Shava. Two people are sick with the same sickness. The doctors give the same prognosis. Shnayim Sha'ala LeGardein Rashi Taita, they're going to a court where they're being dandin in the fashion. Two people are mamish in the same identical sakana. And yet, Zok the Gemara, look what happens. Look how tragic. One survives and one doesn't. Frag the Gemara, why? Why is that? Ze hispalo tfilas flame of Enena, ze lo hispalo tfilas flame of Elayna. One daven and he survived, and one didn't, and that was his end. How this speaks volumes. Oh, how this speaks volumes in what the koyach hatfilah is. Could you imagine people thinking and trying to understand how could it be? He's in the same doctor with the same operation, the same wonderful care. Why did one survive? But you know what was missing? Was missing the bracha shebracheinu avinu. One didn't have his true umness. How this, if you think about it, that mamish the difference michayim lamodes is a molat tefillah. But I had a different cast that always bothered me. It's not logical to assume. Here it is, someone is in the hospital, the doctor tells him there's no hope, it's hopeless. Is it shaykh to say he doesn't daven with kavana? Is it possible to believe someone standing in a court, they're going to judge if he's going to live or die? Is it possible to believe that person didn't have kavana? It's totally illogical. How do we understand the Gemara? Lately, I saw from Eliyahu Apian, he teaches, what does that mean? Rashi says, niskavin. What does it mean, niskavin? Of course he has kavana. Which yid that mamish, face to face with malach of mothers, you think there's a yid that wouldn't have kavana? But Zogdeb Eliyahu Apian, the difference is, one believed in his tefillah, and one didn't. Tyre Abbas, you know what that's telling us? A yid has to believe in koyach hatfilah. In other words, the person, both of them were in a hopeless, helpless situation. But one yid says, a yid is never helpless. A yid is never hopeless. We have an umnis, we have a bracha shebacheinu avinu. And just like every person hopes there might be some type of miracle of surgery, there might be some type of life-saving medicine that would save his life, and he hopes for that and he prays for that. That yid realized there is a miracle cure, and that's called tefillah. That tefillah decides Ben Chaim Lamavet. One yid daven because a yid has to daven. But he looked around, the prognosis was bleak, and he gave up. He daven al yid daf davenin, and that's not good enough. He didn't have a moon in the koyach hatfilah. Zoki Beli Apian, that's the pshat in the Gemara. Both daven with kavana, but one realized that tefillah can do like the greatest doctor or the most miraculous medicine. There's a koyach hatfilah that a yid has. That's part of the umnis. Not only to daven, but to believe in the koyach of davening. And the hezb, I think, is so poshut. Like all the mefarshim, the rishonim say it. What's takid pshat? Why does tefillah work? Because tefillah is when a person expresses his firm belief that ein ayin milvadoi. There's no teva. There's only the Eibishter. So a person has to believe in the tefillah. Not only believe in the Eibishter, but believe in the koyach that is directed to the Eibishter, the koyach tefillah. Rabbi Zechayin Levracha once spoke right before this kiyas, and he spoke about tefillah, and he said every yid believes in koyach tefillah, but the problem is people think, yeah, avada tefillah, to the koyach tefillah for tzaddikim, for kedoshim. So that's a mistake. That's a terrible mistake, because koyach tefillah is for every single yid. And when we approach davening, that has to fill our minds. There is a koyach tefillah for every single yid. And if I may add, Bemis, this is a chazal, the Yalkut and Tehillim, Tafsav Ches. Taich is a pasuk we say three times a day. Korav Hashem l'chol korav, l'choy l'ashe yikra'uhu b'yemes. State in chazal, Korav Hashem l'chol korav, yachor l'akol. You think that the Eibush is close to every single one that calls out? Talmud Loima L'Choyel Asher Yikra'uhu B'Yemes. It's only to the one Asher Yikra'uhu B'Yemes. And that's the Hemshech. That's the connection in the Pasuk. What's the Pshat? So I saw Rav Samavolvas on Gezunis Mazva. We think there's a Tzaddik that's close to the Eibush, and there's a Rasha that's far from the Eibush. That's true. But when it comes to tefillah, there's a different criteria. That when someone stands to daven, no matter how far he may be, no matter how distant he may be, but the yikki is the chol asheikra'uhu b'yemes. Yochol akol, you might think that the deciding fact is on the person, what he is, who he is. No, the chol asheikra'uhu b'yemes, it's the one that calls out, that cries out, an erlech tefillah. And this too, I think, is so poshut, because that's what tefillah is. Look in the Ramchal and Derech Hashem, Chelik Dalet, Perikei, how he explains how tefillah works, because every person is far from the Eibishter. And it's only the one that comes close with tefillah, that's the way we come close to the Eibishter. And this is the psad, this is the oimik l'chola sheikruhu b'yemes. It's not totally who the person is, but it's totally how the tefillah is. Is there a kavana? Is there a moon in the Eibishter? Is there a moon in koyachat tefillah? And I think the biggest raya, my rabbi say, is the Gemara Sanhedrin. It's true, Menashe was the asara b'yenei Hashem, the personification of Ra. But at that moment, he didn't just daven. Look at Lashon HaPasuk by Yichonem, by Yichonem Ma'oid, Milifnei Elikei Avoisov. He was the Yid that on him we could say, L'chol Asher Yikra'uhu B'yemet. The Pasuk is Meyid. There was an Avis in front of him. He saw the Avis in front of him when he was diving to the Avister. And then when it's L'chol Asher Yikra'uhu B'yemet, then Nes becomes Teva, and then Tfilah becomes the Bracha Shevachenu Avinu. And that's why the Yevish to Kaviyachal had to accept this tefillah. And Kaviyachal had to be chayt the tachas kisek vayday. Because that's the way the Yevish to made this world. There's a pesach that's open like the chinuch l'chol asher yikra'uhu b'yemes. The Gemara in Sanhedrin of Tzadik Gimel. After Kasha, we hear all about, we see all about the Hananya, Mishael, the Zarya, the Nisim that happened with them. Fredi Gemara, Lehechan Ozov. We hear about the Nes, and that's the end. We don't hear anything more about them. What happened to Hananya, Mishael, the Zarya? Zob the Gemara, Shmuel, Omer, Veroik, Tivoy. Zob Rashi, the Goyim saw that Yidin didn't have a desire. Zob Rashi, the Goyim was so disappointed and so disgusted at Yidden. You have such a Rebbeinu Shel Olam that made such a mess, and you could deen avoy desire, shame on you. And the Goyim spat at Klal Yisrael until there was so much spit that he actually drowned in the spit. As Isaac Shmuel comes again to Mashal, and he says, it has to be a muscle. Can people drown in the spit? Libi Oimeli, this Gemara is talking to us. And I think more so today, when we look in retrospect what happened a number of months ago. Because there's a time that something is so disappointing, and something is so distressful and so obviously upsetting, that even a guy could point an accusing finger and say, Yidin, shame on you. Yidin, shame on you how you could do such a thing. It's a muscle that there are times in history we have to hear the Goyim. We have to hear the Goyim calling out, shame on you, Yidin. Elikakozeh yeshlechem v'shtachavisem l'tselem. You have such a Rebbeinu Shel Olam and you're busy with narishkeiten. How often I think this is about tefillah. Because even a guy understands that that's our umness. When a guy looks at a yid, he knows there's a yid on this world today because there's an bracha shebracheinu avinu. Rabbi Yankiv Emden writes, Chai Hashem Tzavakait, he swears that the nest of Klal Yisrael, the fact that there's a yid on this world, is a bigger nest than the nest of Kriyas Yamsuf. Because how many times throughout the history, Oimden Aleinu L'chaleisenu? How do you explain why is there a yid that survived today? Because there's a bracha that's called tefillah. And I can almost hear it, how the Goyim cry out, Yid, you have a bracha of tefillah. And this is what you do with it. And believe me, when I'm walking to shul, whether it's 7:45 in the morning, or 4:30 for mincha, or 9:30 for Ma'ariv, and I see Bachum walking around, and the last thing on their mind is to go to Davin, a person has to be deaf not to hear the Goyim crying out, Yidin, how could you do this? Elikak, Azeh, Yeshlachem. You have a koyach, you have a bracha, you have an umnis. What are you doing to yourself? How do you throw away the umnis that because of that you have a Klal Yisrael? And I've said this in the past, but lately I say this with more conviction. Because There's no question about it. What we saw September 11th was a spectacular success that's almost unexplainable. Shalaika derech hateva. And I dare not dignify any of their actions, but they have repeatedly said, Yimach Shemam, that it's all because of their davening, their prayers. And I'm not getting into the details, but tzaddikim have said it's very, very possible that they were able to do the impossible because of their prayers, davening. And again, I don't want to dignify them in any way, but if you ever watch an Arab daven, you ever watch an Arab's obsession, his conviction, his devotion to his davening, it's pillar playing. It's, believe me, the best mussa smooth in what Kayach Hatzila. And I could almost hear it. I could almost hear them crying out those words with so much more feeling. Yidin, shame on you. Look what we did to this world because we daven. And they talk daven to the Eibishter. Look what we did to this world. Look how we terrorized this society, the whole world at large, because we daven. And it's your umnis. It's your bracha. It's your survival in Golis. Where's your davening? How come you have to have smoothing about davening, about talking by davening, about not coming to davening? Person has to be deaf not to hear the cry, Elekaka zeh, yes lachem, v'shtachavisem v'tselem. And it's not a tselem, it's foil kite. It's sleeping an extra few minutes. It's not concentrating in davening. But here we have, the Arabs are destroying and terrorizing a world because of their davening. And what are we doing about our davening? Where are we holding in our umnis, which the Eibishter gave us? And that, I believe, is the strongest message. Yidin, wake up. You're losing your koyach. Because there's a Pesach that the Eibishter, even a Ra, even a Menasseh, it is a tefillah that's Erlach. And who knows? Who knows? Taka, maybe it's their tefillah that gave them this remarkable success. A parent called me recently. I asked, how's his son doing? Oh, he's doing wonderful. He's learning. Davening is a little schwach. I realized that's the problem. That's the problem, that a person could say he's doing wonderful and he's learning and davening is a little schwach. Because there's no such metzias in this world. The Gemara neither says in no uncertain terms that ayin, the importance of davening, and the Gemara says, ha b'loi ha loi sagi, that a person that learns and doesn't daven, it won't go. There's no such metzias in this world that a person is doing well, but he's not davening. The Gemara is saying it's not going to happen, it's not going to work. It's like filling up a bag with diamonds, but there's a hole in the bag. That's the problem. That's why we see a churban of today, because we're in a world that exists with a new concept. I'm doing fine, but just in davening I'm a little schwach. I don't only hear this from parents, I see this in my own eyes. Why is it it comes time for davening and people not running to davening? That's why we hear, that's our koyach, that's our bracha, that's our umnis. Why are we throwing it away? A gadol once asked, you see, those tzaddikei olam, we call them balei tshuva, the way they daven, their erlichkeit, their erentzeit in davening, it makes us look so bad. Why is it that people that just joined Yiddishkeit, they know how to daven better than us? And I once said a terrorist to this. Imagine someone who has a terrible, terrible need at home, mama's life and death, and he decides going straight to the top. He goes to the king's palace and he's going to knock on the door. He tells his wife, I said, you crazy? You don't go knock on the king's door. Why not? You'll see. He goes knocking on the king's door and a soldier comes out. What are you doing here? I have to speak to the king. He goes, get out of here before you get arrested. You don't come speak to the king. Then he starts banging, but let me in. know, you can imagine it's a minute later, they say, Taka arrested. Someone comes to him and says, you know, it's not the way you do things. The king has so many millions of people that need him, and so many different needs. You don't just go to the king. You have to wait, you have to apply, you have to hope, you have to pray. They'll find a minute, and they have to check you over and say, listen, maybe you'll have a minute. You don't just knock to the, go over to the king and knock on his door. I ask you, when he waits and waits and goes through the whole process, and he finally is face to face with the king, do you think he'll be late? Do you think his mind will wander? Do you think he'll look around? That is a Yiddish tefillah. Like the Mesillas Yesharim Taitis, it's so simply and perites. Nicer than nicer, Ima Yisbarach, Ulafarav whom is Chanan, Umiite whom is Vakesh, Vuhu Yisbarach, Mazalai, Maxiv Yisbarach, Kashiadabe Isha Reyeu, Maxiv Yisheimeya. That is a Yiddish tefillah. Like the Mesillas Yesharim Taitis, it's so simply and perites. Nicer than nicer, Ima Yisbarach, Ulafarav whom is Chanan, Umiite whom is Vakesh. Vuhu Yisbarach Mazalai Maxiv Zvarav Kashiyadabe Isha Reyeu Maxiv Yisheimeya Elov. Ayi doesn't go to any shluchim, he goes straight to Melech Malchei Hamelachim. That's what the bracha Shebracheinu Avinu. We don't have to wait, we don't have to hope, we daven three times a day, Kashiyadabe Isha Reyeu. You know, I sometimes like to imagine, if someone would come to me today and present me this privilege, this beautiful picture, you go straight to the king and you can ask whatever you want. And that's what tefillah is. And that's why when someone first, and a mature person, hears about davening and understands and fully comprehends what a davening is, he has this that excitement, that thrill, like that person that waits months to go to the king. It's only that we grow up and we daven because the Rebbe said we should daven, or parents, and we have this immature, this not accurate picture of davening. And the Chovas HaLevavos in Cheshbon Nefesh Perek Gimel writes, a person has to mature in his appreciation of tefillah. And I really believe someone who just starts Yiddishkeit at a mature age, and he hears about what a davening is, Oyem v'noyah, it's the most remarkable privilege. It's only because we continue davening with our original understanding, the very shallow, the very basic understanding. We have to mature, we have to steig in our appreciation of davening, in realizing, like the Mesillas Yesharim says, is a reality in every davening. To realize the schus of a davening, to realize the bracha of a davening, if there's a munah in tefillah, there has to be an erlichkeit. There has to be a mesiras for a davening, because that's our greatest bracha. I want to add just another prat. You might call it an eitzah. I think it's much more than an eitzah. I often speak about davening. And I try to understand, why is it people have rifyon in davening? And I ask different people what they find difficult, what they find challenging about a davening. Invariably I hear the same answer. We don't see the result of the davening. We daven, particularly for a chayla, for something, and we don't see the instant results of our davening. Obviously, the answer is simple, or maybe I should say, the question is not a question. I think it's very childish to think every davening is going to right away bring success. The success of davening is that we have the ability of talking to Melech Malchei Hamelachim. The success of davening, that we have that privilege of noisa v'noisa ima yisbarach kashiyadabe isha reyehu. There are times like the disciple in Chayolam has a number of, in Perikov Ches, has a number of explanations why we don't see the answering of our tefillahs. Lately, I have a new understanding.
the Anger Belinsky's Anger Zim says over, it was shortly after the Second World War. It was B'nai Brak that was becoming the Torah stuff, B'nai Brak. And one day, all of a sudden, in comes to B'nai Brak three friar boys. They belong to Shomar Tzair, which is an extremely anti-religious movement. And they came dressed like anti-religious people are dressed. And they said they want to learn Torah. And this is a phenomenon that never existed. This is long before the Baal Tshuva moment even began. And the people that heard this request didn't know what to make of it. Didn't know what to do. Maybe this is a plot, a scheme. After all, they were so anti-religious, they want to learn Torah. And the whole Avia was not full of Tshuva, Baalei Tshuva. The Mamish didn't know what to do. So they ran to the Chazinish and they told them what happened. So the Chazinish said, first of all, take them in. And I'll tell you, I'll explain you exactly what's going on here. And the Chazinish, with extraordinary vision, said 50, 60 years ago, the parents of these children decided to give it all up. Give up the life of a Yid, the family of Yid, and he left it all. Their parents were destroyed. They were losing their own children. And they ran to the Beis Medrash, they opened the Aron Kodesh, and they cried out, Ona Hashem Matzlicha Nos. And the Chazon Ish added with a lot of emotion, I saw this with my own eyes. In those years, the troubled years, there were tears. A river of tears flowed from these Erlich parents. They were losing their children. And they cried and they cried, but seemingly nothing helped. But Dr. Chazon Ish, they thought nothing helped. But no tear, said the Chazon Ish with emotion, no tear is ever lost. No tefillah is ever lost. No gevein is ever lost with Nechisei HaKavayt. Never those wayward children. They had a bechira, they did what they wanted. The parents couldn't stop them. But the Avish, they collected those tears. And today, we see the product of those tefillahs. Today, we see their grandchildren coming back and embracing Yiddishkeit because the tefillah of their mamas and tatas of the Zaydis. And then the Chazon Ish said, I'm telling you now, now you see three of them. Just wait, wait, wait. You'll see thousands and thousands products of those tears, of those tefillahs. In the late 40s, the early 50s, this is a cholam. This is mamish anavuah. But you look around, you see thousands and thousands of products of those tears. Because my Rabbi said the Yevishta is nekabel every single tefillah. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to add another tefillah, like the Tanchum in Vayera says, "Im ein adam kidai lanas betfilosai kiven shemispala umar b'sachanunim ani oisach chesed imoy." Sometimes it has to be an accumulation, but every tefillah, every tear is answered. And the biggest raya, look around, you see the phenomenon of thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of Baalei Tshuva, because every tefillah is listened to. That's part of the bracha shebarchenu avinu, shanu tzayakim v'nenem. Ah, you say, I don't see it. Wait, wait, wait. Kaveh el Hashem zav the Gemara, and if you don't see it, Chazak v'yamech v'bech v'kavi el Hashem. I sometimes see a person struggling, whether it's in learning, whether it's in ben adna chaveira, whether it's panasa and gezunt. And I think if only there would be another tefillah, if only there would be, maybe it's only another tear that he needs. There's a very moving medrash in the Yalkut and Tehillim on the pasuk al narayz bavel shom yisham v'gam machinu. Thus the medrash on the yirmi of amalehem. Mayid ani olai shamayim v'oret. I swear, ilu bachisam bachia achas al sha'atem batsiyam legalisam.
You see such a terrible churban. All you needed is one more tear, one more tefillah. Maybe you wouldn't have such a churban. We are beginning a 9 days of a churban because maybe he was missing one tefillah. Oy b'chia achas. Who knows? Who knows a person struggling if only there was another tear? Because that's the part of Shanut Yaakov v'Nenan. Every tefillah is listened to. And one final thought, which I believe really is the greatest limit of the recent current events. To be quite frank, I'm a bit scared to say this, but I think it's important. I heard from the receiver of Zelig Epson Rangazin many, many years ago. He said a word, lately I think about it very often. He said a word in his Lashon, the Gedolei Bali Musa, and the Gedolei Chassidus say the same word. We even know we spend our days, our nights in Ratzon Hashem. For Ben Torah, for Ben Yeshiva, how much more so? This is our life. Last days, it's Soin Chabalev Hashali. And there are some times that we have certain weaknesses, certain Shvachtaiten, and perhaps we justify, we rationalize, well, I'm good in this, I'm good in that. No, I'm going to have a Shvachtaiten. But that's a fatal mistake. That's a terrible mistake that we can't afford to erase. And he said a tight then, Pasuk in Parshas Bo'i, V'anachnu le'neida ma'navait es Hashem ad bayenu shama. So he tights, of course, homiletically, and he said this, the Bali Musa and the Gedolei Chassidus say the same rayon. A person here thinks, well, this is important, and this I could neglect, I could be shvach. Little does he know. We don't know what really is Ratzon Hashem. We don't know what really is Ikka by the Eibishter. V'anachnu le'neida ma'navayd et Hashem ad bayenu shama. Until that lichti getod v'yashem echod ishmo yechod. You think it's this and this you could live without. But then it's going to come the day that Hashem will say, will reveal himself. And you'll see, that was the Yikka. That was chashed by the Eibishter. And you neglected that. Ad bayeinu shama, oy, will it be then a fatal mistake? And I want to tell you, Rabbi Say, Dvarim HaYotzim Min HaLev. When I was your age, there was no such a metzius that someone was good in learning, but he's shvach in davening. Yes, there were shvach habachim, there were bachim that weren't erlich. But this new metzius that he's good in learning, but davening is shvach, I could tell you didn't exist. Maybe because we learned Chazal, that the Mishnah, that's one of the Gimel Amudim. Maybe because we learned Chazal, that tefillah is oimdin berumay shel oilam, berumay shel oilam, which Chazal described as the Shechin Alein. Maybe we learned Chazal that a Kaddish Baruch Hu is mis'avel at tefillah of tzaddikim. Whatever the reason, there was no such metzias. He's a good bachur, but he's shvach in davening. And whenever I see this metzias, I think of that verse. Ad bayenu shama. Will the Lev Mashiach for that glorious day, and the Eibishter will kaviyachu say, I'm asavah for your tefillah. I made the world that's one of the amudim. And you thought you could be shvach in davening? Didn't you know wherever you look in all the chazal how important tefillah is? And why I think about this lately, Rabbi Yisai, because anybody with open eyes, and I can say this in my own years, there was never a time that Ad Bayenu Shama is so imminent. A person has to be deaf not to hear the Ikvus of the Mashiach. And a person has to be blind not to see the imminent arrival of Ad Bayenu Shama. And this attitude must stop. We can't go on living as Oivdei Hashem without a chashivas in davening. Because that's not Oivdei Hashem. And let's not wait for that moment when the Eibishter will say, why didn't you daven? Why were you dreizich doing nothing but not running to a mincha. Pardon me for saying this, but I can't understand why is there such a metzias. And if the oil of Anamach, it hurts me, they wouldn't do it. It's time for mincha. No one's doing it. Not even swimming. Medreitzich, why is that? The time of Advayenu Shama is closer than we think. And this attitude must stop. This ichashiva to davening must stop. Because that's the Ratzon Hashem. That always was. But that's the Ratzon Hashem. But this one monakuda. You look around, anybody with open eyes, with an open heart, sees the matzah that we're living in is getting worse and worse. What's going to be tomorrow? How are we to respond to the matzah mamish that every moment of Achenu B'nai Yisrael is sakonadik? I want to tell you what I think, what we should be thinking about, what I think is the message here. You look in Chazal HaKadoshim, how Chazal predicted what's going to be in Yemos HaMashiach. The picture that Chazal painted, it's almost impossible to understand, and certainly not to believe. The Chazal in many places say the last Golos before Mashiach is going to be Golos Yishmael, the Arabs. Tell a sensible person, the Arabs, they're so backwards, they're cavemen, primitive, they're going to cause us such suffering. Reb Chaim Vital writes, the Zelashayim Kotshay, that the Arabs are going to give us Tzorayis, Kotshayis, Umishunayis, Leiniru Kimoysam. That doesn't make sense. The Arabs always were the poorest, the most uncivilized country. How are they able to give us Tzorayis, Kotshayis, Mishunayis, Leiniru Kimoysam? Chazal HaKadoshim tell us that this Targum in Parsha on the Pasuk Yeh Pera Adam, that the whole world going to need Arabs, they won't be able to survive without the Arabs. Doesn't make sense. Why do we need Arabs? Who needs them? They have nothing to offer. It's only in recent times do we see the tzoras we're in, because like the Targum writes, Kol b'nei anash yohain tzrichin leh. The whole world needs the oil of the Arabs. Now that there's automobiles and there's other type of technology, they are directing this world. And if you know a little bit current events, the reason why it's such a difficult, such a complex and complicated picture, because the whole world needs the Arabs, just like the Targum wrote so long ago. Things that didn't make sense years ago, today we see with our own eyes. Because today is a time that Ad Bayenu Shama is so close. But on the same side, Haidu Hashem Kitoiv, there's a different part of the picture that Chazal painted. The Balaturim at the end of Chayesaris says, the Smith is Chayesaris, it's Holdais. Because after the fall of Yishmael, the Balaturim Kishayibo Yishmael Ba'achit Hayamim Oz Yitmach Ben David Shehu Mitzholdes Yitzchak. The Perikot Rebelezim Perik Chavtes Perik Lamed says it's clear that after the fall of the Yishmael of the Arabs will be that Lichdig Eteg that we so anxiously wait for. So we see Mamish our Matzev in Torah clear with the Tug. We see the Tzoris Mishunis. We see why the world needs the Arabs, but we see this is the end of it all. But how are we supposed to look forward to this end? That too is in the Meferes of Chazal. The Pirkei Avos in Perek Lamed Hey questions, why is it the name of Yishmaelim is called Yishmael, and the Eibishter gave the name Yishmael, not Lamanik Yishmael, Yishmael, the Eibishter will hear the call of Klal Yisrael, Mimasha Asidin B'nei Yishmael, Lasoit Ba'eretz Ba'achis Hayomim, Lefikach Nikra Yishmael. Do you know why the Eibishter gave the name to Yishmael so many thousands of years ago? Because there's going to be a time which you might not be able to even realize or vision that the Yishmael are going to give Klal Yisrael Tzoros Mishunei She'ein Kamoyu. And Klai Yisrael are going to say, what did we do? Today, even the biggest Koichiv Ha'aitzim Yadi say, we don't know what to do. We don't know what's going to bring tomorrow. There's no answer. There's no Eitzah. But we have an Omnis, Rabbi say. We have a Bracha Shebechenu Avinu. We know what the answer is. We know why there's a Yishmael that's causing unparalleled and unprecedented suffering. It's in the name, because the Eibishter wanted to hear the Omnis of Eitzenu. The Eibishter wanted to chap that we should chap on to the Bracha Shebechenu Avinu. The Eibishter wanted that we should put an end to this massive that I'm doing well but I'm not davening. Why we have the tzaris is because there is such a matzav. Because we're not tapping on the omnis of Eisenu. The Avish is telling us what we have to do, what our response has to be. And he's making it so clear that even the Goyim don't know. Imagine, it's a pillar playim, a few people hiding in caves, are tormenting a world that they don't know how to find them. Where did you find such a metzias? Where did you find such a Messias? The whole world is living in constant fear because of a few B'nai Yishmael. They don't know how to explain it, but we do. It's in the name Yishmael because we have to call out to the Avish that we have to daven and daven and daven. That's the response, Rabbi says. And that's why I hear more than ever that call, Yidin, shame on you. We are giving you tzara so you should daven. You're not davening, we're davening, we're growing, what are you doing? Moreover, Abayse, I'm telling you what the solution is. Tafsu umnis avayseinu. We have to use that koyach that's called tefillah. The reason why we see such tzara is because Kadosh Baruch Hu is misavel the tefillaseinu. The Yishmael ki Yishma keil. By Yishma Kel Vayan names of this Pasuk in Tillim. The time of Advayenu Nishmas Ad Shoma is imminent. This is the Yishmael's last step in Golis, and this is a step before that Lichdig Etav that we so anxiously wait for. But there has to be, like the Pasuk says, the Nakasa'om. There must be a chizik and tefillah, and this matzav that I'm not a davener must come to an end. If we want Golus to come to an end, that idea has to come to an end. Because that's why we have this Golus, and that's why we're going to end this Golus. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring, but we know how to bring the tomorrow that we're so anxiously waiting for. It's the bracha shebachenu avinu. Yidin tayo, let's be mechazik and tefillah, in the bracha of tefillah. And certainly, certainly, the Eibishter will show us that day that we're waiting for when he'll hear our tefillahs and Yom Ha'atzar Yisrael who dies and will be zoicha to the Gula Shleima B'meheira V'yameinu Amen.